I'd like now to welcome back to the program Karen Walker. She is a real estate broker, and she is the author of multiple books on real estate. The latest one is called Santa Fe Real Estate, Good Things to Know. And she will be speaking tonight at 5 o'clock at Meyer East Gallery at 225 Canyon Road. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Shirley.
So you have been doing this for a very long time. What, 4 decades or so?
Doing what?
Real estate.
37 years is all.
Yeah, 37 years is all. How did you get into that line of work, and what has kept you interested? Because it seems like it's almost a calling for you.
Well, I was teaching at Prep for a couple of years, taught economics and other courses, and then was the first director of the Pueblo Opera program. But in between those, I began to look at land, and there was a piece out on Tana Road, and the broker showed it to me, and it was, they were asking a horrendous sum of $8,000 for 6 acres, and I turned to him and I said, why hasn't it sold? And he said, because no one will get out of the car to walk to it. And so I wrote the offer saying that it was subject to the seller putting in a road to county specifications, and the seller said, terrific, nobody ever asked me before. We closed, and by the time we closed, 3-4 months later, it was worth 3 times as much. So the broker said, Karen, when you get through with whatever that is you were doing, oh, I also had a spy job at the legislature, come join me. So I said, okay. I was in a mood those days of just saying, okay. So I went to the library and got out every book on real estate I could find, and took the test and passed it. And then 2 years later, I bought them out. So it was my company since 1975. And what keeps me in the business is that it's endlessly changing and fascinating. The rules change all the time, the possibilities, the challenges. A good example is the current picture on financing. To keep up with the capriciousness of the lenders these days and the regulations out of Washington is challenging.
Now, how has Santa Fe, if it has, been affected by some of the really bad problems that we've seen in other parts of the country, like Florida and California, where there was predatory lending and really horrible foreclosure situation? Have we had any of that here?
Oh, yes, we have. A smaller percentage, and it was slower to arrive. In the case of Florida or Arizona, New Mexico, or Nevada, people were buying 3 and 4 homes on spec with minimum down, leveraging as high as they could. And so when the crunch came, or it started in summer of 06, actually, but when it really was felt by most people was about 2008, their high leveraging gave them no equity, basically, in the house anymore, because the house was now worthless. And so people walked away from properties. And that's happened to some extent here.
So in Santa Fe, I mean, in the situation that we have, are there, I see there's a lot of houses for sale. Are there a lot of foreclosures?
There are a fair amount. Actually, our inventory right now is down because a lot of people have pulled their homes off the market and decided to wait for a better day, which could be 4 or 5 years from now, or rent it, or just stay there and fix it up. The remodeling business is fairly good right now for the contractors, reasonably good. They have no new construction going on. The architects have no new construction going on to speak of. One, Subi Bowden, I think, has some projects in Albuquerque, but mainly it's remodeling or praying a lot. The other thing that's endlessly fascinating about being a broker is your opportunity to meet the most interesting people. The people who come to Santa Fe, not to mention the people who sell as well, are all fascinating, multi-backgrounds, well-traveled. It's really a pleasure to get to know them, and I learn something from every client, whether they're buying or selling.
How have the people who are buying, that demographic, how has that changed since you've been in the business? I mean, there was a huge influx of people from, I mean, like, there always has been an influx of people from the outside for the last 100 years, but it seemed like in the 80s and 90s there was a particular influx of people buying up houses and driving up the price of real estate.
This has always been a good market for Texas. They've always appreciated adobe construction, and of course they love being a little bit closer to the forests than they are in Texas. And since the oil crisis, they're the ones that have all the money now, today. Californians began coming in the late 80s and early 90s. They, as a whole, are very interest rate sensitive compared to groups from other areas. We have people from all over. Chicago is a big market. But I'm working now with some people from Montana, some from Colorado. It's all over.
There's been, of course, over the years that you've been doing this business, a lot of growth in Santa Fe, a lot of new development. How would you characterize the qualities of good and bad development?
Well, I guess sensitivity and aesthetics are the key elements. A lot of the new development is box after box. It's pretty unattractive. This is where some of the overlay zoning is helpful because it prevents that kind of lack of design, shall we say.
What is that? What is overlay zoning?
Well, it's in the book, and it's the chapter is titled Special Districts because I thought using the word overlay would confuse. To start with underlying zoning, we got here in Santa Fe in 1962. We had no zoning before that. And zoning, you live in an area of R5, five homes per acre, or RM1 residential multifamily, or any variety. The underlying zoning controls setbacks and heights, that sort of thing. Overlay, and the municipalities evoke that. They're the ones who decide, typically, that we need zoning for one reason or another. It separates the industrial uses from the residential uses and so on. But the interesting thing about overlay zones is that they're brought forth by the people, by the community, not by the city so much. The community says, we really value our skylines and our mountain views. Or the community says, we really value the historic fabric of this community. Or they say, we value the treasure trove of archaeological sites here and their artifacts. And so we started the Escarpment Ordinance, citizens, in 89 to protect the ridgelines. The historic ordinance is much, much older, and in the 50s. And the archaeological ordinance, I think, came in the late 80s. In fact, the first people caught by it, when I say caught by it, if you were to excavate more than so certain amount of square footage in any one of the archaeological zones, you have to stop and have it analyzed by an archaeologist. And the first people to be caught were clients of mine who had bought a home on the north side. I never would have dreamed it. But in any case, they found pottery and all kinds of good things. They weren't thrilled. They had to pay extra for the excavation.
Because they also had to halt construction.
That too. But they are so proud of those artifacts now that they exhibit them. So
they're theirs. If you buy a piece of land and you dig it up and there's amazing pottery, you own it?
Unless it's human remains of some sort.
Uh-huh.
In any case, the overlay zones trump the underlying zoning. An example would be in the escarpment zone, escarpment area. Let's say the underlying zoning says you can have up to a two-story house, 24 feet maximum or whatever. But if building that house on your building site pushes you above the ridgeline so that you mar the ridgeline, then you're not allowed to do it. And that's a case where the overlay zone of escarpment trumps over the underlying zoning.
Interesting. We're talking to real estate broker Karen Walker about her new book, Santa Fe Real Estate, Good Things to Know. So what makes a good broker and what makes a bad broker?
Well, I don't want to address a bad broker, but I think the best brokers have the highest level of knowledge. We assume integrity, we assume fiduciary abilities, but we shouldn't assume knowledge. One of the things we specialize in our firm is knowledge. And it's due partly to my 25 years I spent at the city in various committees, and I learned a tremendous amount. And working on the Chapter 14, the Land Use Code. Right now I'm helping to revise the Escarpment Code, Overlay Code, and the Historic. And we're just waiting for staff who's a little bit behind to finish up the drafts. But the process, you learn so much. And I can advise somebody where a more typical broker simply can't on certain subjects because they haven't been through it. A case in point, some people on the east side were thinking of selling their property, and a broker said to me, well, gee, it's a big lot they can add on. I said, well, it depends how the City Historic Preservation Department has designated that structure. Is it non-contributing, contributing, or significant? And then I can explain to a buyer or seller what this means to them in terms of adding on. So that's the kind of thing that we specialize in, and that I think is extremely valuable.
One thing that I'm surprised about, because while there's not a whole lot of new building, there is some new building and there's renovation, and I've seen tons of new building over the years, is if you put south-facing windows, you have a warm house all winter. And if you don't, you have to spend a whole lot of money on heat. Why doesn't everybody use passive solar and build that into houses, whether it's a builder or somebody having their own special? I mean, it's more likely if you're building your own house that people will build that in, but why don't builders putting in low-cost housing do that?
Well, that's a good point, and you probably need to ask somebody who's into affordable housing more on the low cost. On the average or higher costs, first of all, if you put in south-facing windows, unless there's a heat sink for them, it doesn't make any difference, particularly it just burns you up. In other words, you need a dark floor of some sort that the sun hits. And by the way, it's not south, it's 17 degrees west of south, I believe, is our angle here.
Right.
Other reasons can be aesthetic. Other reasons can be the angle of the view, if there is any. There's a lot of reasons for it. Now, there's a big movement to making homes much more efficient than in the past. In fact, it's in the code, in the city's green code. And one of those things can include, you can get points for doing passive solar. Passive solar started here out in El Dorado in the 70s, and before the technology was terribly good, and a lot of people built their own homes, and they created pretty ugly places, some of them, in the early 70s. And so then it lost the federal tax credits and the state tax credits, and that particular trend disappeared for a while. It's coming back. There's credits coming back on that subject now. But it's really a matter of choice, and there's other ways you can heat a home without that. For example, these panels on the roof, and I don't mean the old-fashioned big solar panels, but the electrovoltaic, which don't stick up, can help heat your home with the sun much easier, much more easily than the south-facing windows.
Well, they can produce electricity, too.
Yes, which then can produce heat.
Right. We're talking to Karen Walker. So is this Santa Fe Real Estate, the new book, is that, what, the third edition?
Each one is slightly different.
Yeah.
This one has some new chapters added, and the chapter on financing deleted for obvious reasons.
Well, the obvious reasons being that financing is so difficult that it would take its whole own book, or...
you still couldn't do it. The rules from Washington change daily. It's impossible. It's a seat-of-your-pants situation. It's not something you can write about. But what happened was sometime in the 80s, the Reporter, which was then owned by Hope Aldrich, she had purchased it from Richard McCord, who was the original person who started the Reporter and is still writing and editing. He's excellent.
He's fabulous.
Yeah. And so Hope approached me and asked if I would write a weekly article on real estate issues. And I said, no, I don't have time weekly, but I'll do it monthly. So I wrote a few, and then I was having lunch one day with Brian Dennehy, who and his family were just moving to town, and he said, why don't you do a book? He said, in my business, the first thing everyone talks about is entertainment, and the second, all they talk about is real estate. So I said, okay. So I approached Sunstone Press, gave them the existing articles, and they looked at them, and they said, great, write some more, and so they published them. But then the next book, I self-published, and also this one, because I found I had more control over my copies, more access to my own book. And so I went to Borders a long time ago and bought a book on self-publishing, and Dorothy at Collected Works helped me get an ISBN number and It was really easy.
Yeah.
You know, I had to find a photographer, of course, and cover and all that, but it's very easy.
And absolutely wonderful, charming, and hilarious drawings by, cartoons by Jonathan Richards.
Yes.
I love that you got him to work with you.
Well, I've had a different illustrator each time. The first one was Jerry Mallord. He was known for that famous poster with a big fat woman laying down on the floor. It said, "Too much of Santa Fe style," and it's all over town. And she was dripping with jewelry and, you know, the howling coyote.
Right.
He was very funny. And then the second one was Patrick Oliphant, which was also very exciting. And he had just moved here from the D.C. area, and he's internationally syndicated. And then Jonathan is a longtime friend. We played mixed doubles together a lot. And he does the illustrations for the Saturday morning Albuquerque Journal North. So please, everyone, look for his illustrations. They're terrific.
And he's got cartoons on the Huffington Post on a regular basis.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very, very talented person, actor, and everything else, too.
And this week he's acting in Our Town.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you will be at the Meyer East Gallery tonight at 5 o'clock talking about your new book. What are some of the...
Well, I'm not sure how much I'll be talking.
Oh, okay.
It's just greeting people.
Greeting
and
people, signing
the
books. Mm-hmm. Okay. But people can ask you questions.
Oh, sure.
And what are some of the mistakes that home buyers make? Let's say you've been renting for a long time. You've decided that you're really going to stay here and... You are maybe a young family, and you've pooled your incomes, and you want to buy a house. What are some of the biggest mistakes that people make?
Putting it a little differently, the most important thing you can do is choose your location wisely, not only for ultimate resale, because, you know, the family will grow, and you'll want to move around or something, but furthermore, a place that really feels good. Just, you can't tell by the internet. You have to physically go into these neighborhoods and these areas. But probably the biggest financial mistake people make is not accounting for maintenance. The lender will look at your ability to pay principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, and that's all they care about. But you'll find that maintenance on a property can be as high as your property taxes every year. And so you need to factor that in as well. And that's a mistake that we all forget, frankly.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Are there people who can help you figure out how to factor that in?
Certainly. It's called Karen Walker Real Estate.
Or any other broker that you choose. If you choose an experienced broker, they probably all had to deal with that.
If they've thought about it, yeah. It's frankly, it just dawned on me 3 or 4 years ago when prices were lower, or still are, and people were just a little bit on the edge in terms of what they could afford. It finally dawned on me for the first time that, boy, we better factor in maintenance at least equal to taxes, if not more. And we're much more religious about looking at how new the roof is. Is the warranty transferable?
I was going to say roof leaking, plumbing problems.
Well, roof is the big one.
Yeah.
And it's got to have a warranty, and it's got to be transferable. And most people who get a new roof when they're living in a house don't think to ask the roofer, "This has to be transferable, otherwise I'll go elsewhere." Transferable to the next owner. In other words, the warranty should run with the property, not with the individual. And so we scrutinize that much more carefully than we used to.
Now, property prices for this proverbial young couple that's trying to buy a house, whatever, have gone down, but financing has become more difficult.
That's right.
So it's kind of a continual catch-22 for people.
Well, there are some lenders that are fairly easy to work with here in town. I'd avoid the big national groups, the big national firms, and they don't know the market anyway. But it's an ideal time to buy because the prices are absolutely wonderful. A friend of mine just closed on a property, just a little over $200,000, and beautiful property, 2 bedrooms, 2 baths, garage, well-located, in good condition. Nice backyard, beautiful fruit trees, and you couldn't do that 4 or 5 years ago, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Karen Walker is a real estate broker. She is the author of Santa Fe Real Estate, Good Things to Know, which is available at Collected Works Bookstore. And once again, she will be speaking, well, not speaking, but talking to people, signing books tonight at the Meyer East Gallery at 225 Canyon Road. And we look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you.
And I'd like to welcome now Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us many Fridays speaking of the arts. Welcome back.
It's good to be back. Happy, what is it, Earth Day weekend?
Earth Day weekend indeed.
Happy Earth Day weekend, everybody.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff. What's happening?
I don't know. You know, surprisingly, what came across the Pasatiempo desk was not a lot of Earth Day related stuff. But there is a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I think I have some in my folder here, which will come out as we
plow
open
through
our
the day's events.
174 emails.
174 emails. Happy birthday to George Takei also.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Happy birthday, George.
April 20th.
April 20th. 420, yo.
But the morning would not be complete without the announcement of the cat of the week, and Felines and Friends has as they wrote to me today, beautiful, charming, amusing, playful, and well-socialized cats of all ages available for adoption. And this week's cats are Max and Felix, lots of X's, wonderful cats who lost their home earlier this year when their human suddenly died. They're very bonded to each other. They're looking for a new home together. They're playful, energetic, good kitties. If you want to adopt them, please call 505-316-2281, or you can go to fandfnm.org.
F Felines and Friends. FNFNM.com.
.org.
Yes, .org. That's right. Nonprofit.
Nonprofit.
Burn it. Okay, what's going on in Santa Fe? And elsewhere, obviously, we have the El Dorado Arts and Crafts Association preview gallery. It's sort of leading up to the studio tour. So at the preview gallery, which is at La Tienda Center, just that sort of shopping center over there, they are having this exhibit, this sort of preview exhibit, through May 18th. There is no reception, but it opens today out there, and that should be interesting. Also, one of my favorite spaces in downtown Santa Fe, Eggman and Walrus Art Emporium, is having an exhibit. The Funny Ones, work from the Diane and Sandy Besser collection, and this is really great stuff. There's a reception from 5:30 to 9. I guess Evan Glassman, who... runs the gallery, is on the precipice of being a new daddy, so he's exhausted, which would be it's just like another reason to go by and see him and say congratulations and maybe bring him some diapers. not for him.
Not yet.
Right.
Hey, April 21st, tomorrow, Wallace Stegner's contribution to Western literature is being celebrated along with his whole family. It's a basically tribute to the Stegner family, particularly Wallace Stegner, and Paige and Lynn Stegner will be there, as well as N. Scott Momaday, Hampton Sides, Natalie Goldberg, Jill Momaday, and Wes Studi. It's sponsored by the New Mexico Land Conservancy, and it's tomorrow at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium, and the event begins at 6 o'clock, and lots of good stuff. It looks like a really terrific event. We did an interview about it, and... I really didn't know anything about Wallace Stegner, and he's a very good writer.
Really?
Yes.
And when is that again?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Sight Unseen, right?
Yes.
Number 7? Is it already?
No, number 2. No, number 7.
It's number 7.
Yeah.
Sight Santa Fe is a group show of contemporary works. I believe they're all priced around $300 or less, right? And this is one of those things where you don't get to know who the artist is until... after you've made your purchase.
Right.
It's obviously a benefit for Sight and the artist, of course. There's a reception from 6 to 7:30 tonight. This is through Sunday, April 22nd, so it's this weekend only. But this is very popular event. Verve Gallery Photography, sort of right across the street from our lovely New Mexican offices in downtown Santa Fe, is Echo Spectrum, and this is work by New Mexico School for the Arts Visual Arts Department senior class students.
Nice.
And there's an exhibit and reception from 5 to 7 p.m., and that is also only through Sunday, April 22nd, which I believe is Earth Day, right?
I think Sunday is, in fact, Earth Day. Now, here's one that came in. Meet Your Farmer, every Saturday afternoon after the farmer market closes, from mid-afternoon, starting at mid-afternoon at after about 1:30 at Joe's, I assume they're meaning Joe's Diner, at Rodeo and Zia Road.
And for more information, you can go to joesdining.com.
Yeah. They
meet your farmer.
They took the diner off because people were sort of getting confused about the whole local sustainable and then leaned against the diner concept and whatever.
But, okay.
But these are great events. Meeting the farmer is great. And it's one thing to meet them at the market under the sales pressure that both parties are feeling. But this gives you a chance to really, A, talk to them without being in another person's way while they're trying to grab some booty at the farmer's market. And B, just to learn a little bit more about how things are grown in this part of the state.
Did you say grab some booty?
Well, you know, booty as in pirate booty.
Oh, right.
Yeah, not like shaken booty.
The Royal Opera House, London, England. Rigoletto, composed by Verdi, conducted by John Elliott Gardner. Encore performance, April 22nd, that I guess is Sunday, at 11 in the morning at the Screen. So more opera HD on screen at the Screen. Check it out.
Neato. I did come across a couple of Earth Day sort of events that are happening. We've got the Earth Day train. The Santa Fe Southern Railway is offering a round-trip ride to the Galisteo Basin Overlook. Guest speaker is going to be addressing environmental issues that impact the area. You can call 989-8600. And a portion of the proceeds from this train ride benefit an environmental charity. I'm not sure which one, though. It might be a Galisteo Basin Preservation Society. I'm not sure. But if you call 989-8600, you can find out more. And then also, and that's on the 22nd, also on Sunday the 22nd, Earth Day at the Genoveva Chavez Community Center. It's sort of an all-day event, 9:30 to 5, kids' activities and all sorts of things going on there. So both of those events are drag the whole family along.
And there is an event, La Llorona and the Art of Acequias Workshop. Rosalia de Aragon and Ida Kleiterp, who we had on the radio, she is a Dutch artist who is at the Santa Fe Art Institute, who's devoted her life to art involving acequias and has traveled to acequias all over the world. And that's tomorrow from 10 to 1 at the Rail Yard Park Community Room. For more information, 316-3596. You can also go to railyardpark.org.
Also, it's the Santa Fe Art Institute's monthly open studio, right?
Oh, good.
On Thursday the 26th. Readings and sort of a meet and greet with the writers and artists and residents there from begins at 5:30 p.m. Over there on the campus at 1600 St. Michael's Drive, which will soon be my new neighborhood. I'm so excited.
Excellent.
You can call 424-5050 for more information on who, what, when, where. And that's a free event. But, you know, you get to sort of hobnob with the writers and artists and residents, and it's always a good time. What else is happening? Gosh. Ooh, Reach Out, The Sweet Sounds of Motown is also happening on Thursday. It's a New Mexico Public School student dance performance at the Dance Barns at 6 p.m. It's over there on Alto Street. And there are performances that run through May 5th. And if you call 983-7661, you can find out more show times.
And this Sunday, the 22nd of April, from 4 to 6, Fine Arts for Children and Teens is hosting a Mad Hatter's Tea Party.
Yes.
With food, libations. Did you read this already? No.
I didn't.
Characters from Alice in Wonderland and an art auction. Proceeds benefit FACT, a local group committed to introducing young people to the power of art. For more information, at factsantafe.org, or you can call 992-2787. Factsantafe.org.
Is this the Mad Hatter's party that takes place over at Santa Cafe in the afternoon?
You know, it didn't say, did it?
It didn't say.
We have to call or go online.
Yeah, call or go online. But I believe that this party starts in the afternoon at Santa Cafe. The reason I know this is because I'm doing something that I haven't done since 1989, which is doing a reading in front of a live audience with a bunch of other really awesome people like Joan, our poet laureate. And
Joan Logie
and Gabe Gomez
and
others. That starts at noon at High Mayhem over there on Siler Lane. There's a suggested donation that benefits the Emerging Arts Collective. And if you call 438-2047 or go to the High Mayhem website, you can find out more information about that. So
when you think about things you haven't done since 1989,
yeah,
that's a big category.
I know. Stripper pole and this. That's a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. You've already told us about open studios. What else?
What else? I've got what else. Father of the Flood, Raven Chacone, Drought, and D. Lou. Basically, I would say local bands, if not Santa Fe, then sort of Albuquerque or surrounding areas. Lots of environmental noise and some sludge, doom, experimental music. That's at 8 p.m. Tonight over at O'Shaughnessy Performance Space. And I'm really stoked. I wrote about this in my Soundwaves column today. Drought is a band that is made up of a lot of, it's a trio made up of a lot of sort of great musicians and who all have a past here in Santa Fe in one way or another as musicians or concert promoters.
Nice.
And so they're going to be there. And Raven Chacone I saw open for Deerhoof. Always a good time. Father of the Flood I haven't seen. But this is a free performance at the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space tonight at 8 p.m. And it's, I'm telling you people, a lot of, like, some of the best live performance that you're going to see in Santa Fe does not take place at a bar. And this is one of those instances that I suggest you go out and see something without a beer in hand.
Well, you can also hear things at a restaurant, El Maison. Dave Anderson will be there playing jazz with, is it Jan McDonald or Jan McDonald?
I don't know.
Anyway, one of those. At 7:30, from 7:30 to 10:30, there's no cover, but they recommend reservations.
They recommend reservations.
Yes. And that's a nice place to eat, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, El Maison?
Yeah.
I could spend hours there.
I know, I have.
And hundreds of dollars. It's,
that too.
It gets expensive.
You know, and La
but
Boca.
That's just me. La Boca.
La Boca.
La Boca. They're having an event. I think it's like May 4th. They're James Campbell Caruso's La Boca cookbook hits newsstands.
Oh, and, man. James Campbell Caruso, if you're listening, come on my show.
Yeah, and I think it actually might be mid-May. Anyway, Mary Charlotte, I'll let you know. I'll email the information to you.
Good.
This, you just look at this book, and the pictures are just, ugh. I mean, I used to not be a fan of anchovies, but just the pictures of the anchovies in this book are
enough to make it. I love anchovies. I had a friend in college who also did, and we would go out about once every 2 weeks and get anchovy pizza, much to the chagrin of everybody who we had to breathe on.
Hey, there's a great story by Robert Knott on page 20 in today's Pasatiempo about Little Shop of Horrors, right? Which is being presented at Greer Garson Theater. It's a great musical. I believe opening night is tonight at the Greer Garson Theater at 8 p.m. Over there at Santa Fe University of Art and Design. Tickets are available through the Lensic, ticketsantafe.org, 988-1234. Their performance is through April 29th. And if you read the story in today's Pasatiempo, you can find out what those performance dates are. But I believe there's a great sidebar about the original musical in the story today.
Very nice.
And always nice when you see Robert's byline in the Pasatiempo.
Yes, indeed, because he's writing more education stories now.
He is.
Has been for a while.
But he wrote a great review of this film, Bully, which also opens.
Oh, is that good?
Does he say it's good? He gave it three chilies, which in my book ain't bad.
That's pretty good.
Right? So he actually reviewed that and Shakespeare High.
Oh, I saw Shakespeare High, and I interviewed the director several days ago, and that's a good movie.
I liked it.
I mean, there are so many stories of people's lives in there, high school students' lives, and all of these kids from all over, I think it's mostly California, doing Shakespeare, competing, kids there was one guy in there, two brothers, and they just seem so happy and so energetic, and it turned out that their father had killed their mother and was spending a life sentence in jail, and you know, there they were doing Shakespeare. It was amazing.
Oh my goodness.
The 12th annual Sax Stone Carving Workshops are currently accepting applications for two summer sessions in stone sculpture. Beginners and professionals alike are welcome. They have work scholarships. Students learn to carve the figure in their imagination or the letters of their own epitaph, is what it says here. For details, sax, stonecarving.com or 505-579-9179.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. Hey, Bill Colhays wrote a great story about Julian Pollock, who infuses jazz compositions with classical music and pop. And he's fairly young, but he's also fairly talented. And there's a great interview piece by Bill today on page 22 in Paso Tiempo. Now, Julian Pollock and his trio are going to be at the Great Hall at St. John's College at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, April 21st. Tickets are available at the Lenzic, 988-1234, ticketsantafe.org. That's going to be an awesome show.
Hey, did we mention that that Shakespeare High is playing at the CCA and that there's
a
big event tomorrow?
Yeah.
That is being sponsored by the Shakespeare Society of Santa Fe, and they are having not only the movie, but student performances and things like that. And it is at what time?
Let me see.
We will find out.
Let me go to the Chili's section here real quick, and I'll let you know. 1 p.m. Sunday, April 22nd.
That's what I thought. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
And that's, I mean, there's going to be teen artists there. And this movie is slight. It's only 82 minutes. It's not like a Shakespeare play at all. it's not going to set you back a lifetime.
No.
And so that's playing at CCA, and then Regal de Vargas is actually Bully. I'm sorry, is it Regal de Vargas?
Okay.
I should say that. And those are the two films that were reviewed in Paso Tiempo today.
Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Collected Works Bookstore hosts the Santa Fe Shakespeare Society for a celebration of Shakespeare's birthday also, and that will include live readings from Shakespeare's work. And Sunday at Collected Works at 3 o'clock, Nazario Garcia is reading from his bilingual adult novel, Grandpa Lolo's Navajo Saddle Blanket, and he will present a conversation. He'll be in conversation with Dolores Valdez de Pong, author of Life in Los Sauces. And then on Tuesday, April 24th at 6 o'clock in the evening at Collected Works, naturalist William Dunmire will be reading and doing a slideshow from his book, New Mexico's Living Landscapes, A Roadside View, which guides readers through the various ecoregions of New Mexico. That sounds really cool.
Very cool. Hey, did you know that Thursday, April 26th is Israel Independence Day?
No, I did not.
Well, now you do. And in conjunction with that, the Keshet Dance Company and the Jewish Federation of New Mexico have invited Israeli dancer Bar Rogel to New Mexico for a series of intimate performances, and she's going to be doing some audience dancer discussions as well. At 6:30 p.m. On Tuesday, Bar and the Keshet Dance people are going to be performing. Well, there's a couple of new world premieres and some other dance pieces at Moving People Dance Center over there on Pacheco Street. And you can visit keshetdance.org for more information and a full schedule of performances, because I believe there's also one in another place, either Albuquerque or Taos, on the 24th.
Okay. Hey, did you go to the Lannan Foundation on Wednesday at the Lenzic? The poet W.S. Merwin was reading from his work, and Michael Silverblatt, who is usually the most loquacious person on planet Earth, was very restrained, asked very simple questions, and Merwin read from his work, and it was exquisite, absolutely exquisite. And it's going to be broadcast on KSFR on Sunday at 3 in the afternoon.
Oh, good. So I missed it, and I can still hear it.
You can still hear it. It was. He's a good poet. And one thing he said, most poetry is very bad, which is,
it gives one comfort.
It gives one perspective.
Yes.
Anyway.
Did you know that this is also National Child Abuse Prevention Month?
No, I did not.
It's a sad thing that we have to have something called Child Abuse Prevention Month, but there you have it. To celebrate the work of the New Mexico Children, Youth, and Families Department, the Northern New Mexico Regional Arts Center and the Santa Fe Opera's Education and Community Outreach Programs are going to present a spring benefit performance at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday at the Mission Museum in Española. And it includes excerpts from Shoes from the Santo Niño, which is an opera based on the book by Peggy Pond Church, right? And there's going to be performances by the Española Valley High School Chorus and Ballet Folklorico's Children's Dance Ensemble. If you call 505-500-7126, you can find out information about advance tickets and performance times and other stuff like that.
Excellent. And I get all sorts of news releases from the city of Santa Fe. Joyce sends them over, and The Genoveva Chavez Community Center is presenting the 5th annual City of Santa Fe Triathlon.
Oh my goodness.
In July. It's July 21st, and it's
good, so I still have time to train.
Running, biking, and swimming, and you can register by going to NewMexicoSportsOnline.com.
That should be a fun event, actually.
You know, it's not for the faint of heart.
No. But I mean, literally.
Literally. I would, you know, you would. Oh, but Earth Day is also being celebrated at the Genoveva Chavez Center. It's a free event for the entire family.
We already went there.
Oh, you already did it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good. It's so nice you had to say it twice.
What about theater work? Did we say that?
No, we didn't. Go ahead.
Theater work is hosting new readings of new works by Diana Lewis and Jennifer Lewis in the Pat Payne Room at the James A. Little Theater. On the campus of the New Mexico School for the Deaf, and it is through Sunday, this coming Sunday, it's tonight and tomorrow at 7, and then Sunday at 2, and Cow Prince, The Apple Tree, and Mare's Nest are the three plays, and then the second event is Wednesday, April 22nd, through the following Sunday, the play Black Hole by Diana Lewis. For more information, theaterwork.org.
Neato.
Neato.
Hey, I got a visit by the owner of Better Day Cafe. The Better Day Coffee House, which is this new caffeine dispensary over there by the co-op. And a fellow used to sort of operate Second Street Brewery. And now he's got this great cafe, and his brother has written a book called A Very Minor Prophet, The Gospel According to Joseph Patrick Booker as Interpreted by His Faithful Scribe, Barth Flynn. The book is by James Bernard Frost, and it takes place in Oregon around like the bicycle and cafe culture. It's sort of like Portlandia on crack. And this book is sort of half fanzine, half fictional narrative, and it's very interesting and very strange. And from 3 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday the 25th at Better Day Coffee House, there's going to be readings from the book there, and there's going to be giveaways and things like that. But this book is really, Jennifer Levin writes about it in Subtext today in Pasatiempo, and you should go ahead and give it a look, because it's the first time I've ever seen a work of fiction and zine culture put together in a way that doesn't completely suck.
Yeah, that's a feat.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Blue Alchemy, Stories of Indigo, is a documentary movie that is at the screen this Thursday, the 26th of April, at 7 in the evening, and it's all about indigo, and they go to, I think, three different countries that have indigo traditions. We did an interview on this when it came out, or when it was here a while back.
I remember that.
And it's, there's a, in, I think it's somewhere in Africa and in India and someplace else, and you see them actually making these big blocks of indigo. This paste is super cool. Anyway, so that's at the screen. Lots of good stuff at the screen. Check it out.
Performance at the screen, all kinds of things.
Yes.
Happening. Concordia Santa Fe, did we touch on this?
No, go ahead.
This is happening on Earth Day. The Chamber Wind Ensemble and Newfound Treasures. Music of Bernstein and Copland and others at 2 p.m. at the St. Francis Auditorium at the New Mexico Museum of Art. There's no charge, but, of course, donations are always welcome. So that is a great afternoon piece. If you call 913-721-1, you can find out more information about this performance. And I'm sure the Concordia website has something, too.
And I've just gotten a correction. The Lannan broadcast of Merwin is at, I think I said 3, but it's at 3:30 on Sunday here on KSFR. And we are doing a ticket giveaway, ladies and gentlemen. And our dear friend Sean perhaps can get on the mic and tell us exactly what the details are. Is that possible?
Sure. Yay. Well, Paco de Lucia is appearing this Sunday night at Pope Joy Hall, the world-renowned flamenco player, Paco de Lucia. That's at 7:30, Pope Joy Hall, Sunday night. And if you are the second person to call me at 428-1382, 428-1382, you can win a pair of tickets.
I can't believe that isn't sold out.
he's one of the greatest players walking the planet. Seriously.
I got to mention this Earth Day event because it's got a, there's a cool guest. It's a Madrid Earth Day Arts and Crafts Festival from 11:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. on this Sunday, the 22nd. And this is at Oscar Huber Memorial Ballpark. And there is a keynote speaker, Mr. Peter McCloskey, who is an environmentalist and an Earth Day co-founder. And admission is free for this. If you go to madridculturalprojects.info, you can find out more information. There's a small fee for parking. Otherwise, it's a free event, and it's family-friendly. Also in Madrid, the Madrid Old Coal Town Museum has reopened. So they're open from 4 to 6 Saturday and Sunday.
In Madrid.
Yes.
Hey, the Julian Pollock Trio is performing tomorrow night at St. John's College. Did you say that already? I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right.
You can accuse me of being a poor listener. I'm trying to get all my all these emails open because I always miss so many of them. Not because I want to miss them, but because there's only so much time.
There's some. Speaking of so much time, I want to mention just very briefly that Pasatiempo's deadlines have been extended a little bit.
Uh-huh.
We're going through some software changes there at Pasatiempo
that make it better.
And because of the inflow of information, it's necessary for us to ask you to get your stuff in 2 weeks in advance, if at all possible.
2 weeks in advance.
2 weeks in advance instead of the usual 1 week that people have been used to for the last 8 years. We're asking folks to try and get stuff in a little earlier. We're going to work with you here to make sure that you know, things don't fall through the cracks. But at least until we get some new software issues worked out, we need to get stuff in earlier.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
So that we can continue to provide you with the calendar that you've all come to know and love.
Whereas in my case, it's the exact opposite. If you get it to me the Wednesday or Thursday before, it's a lot more likely to get read than if you send it 3 weeks in advance. The Art of Change, Climate Justice and Indigenous Solutions. Keynote is Winona LaDuke, and that's tonight at 7 o'clock. And there, it's a whole event called The Art of Change. Saturday morning presentations by Tom Goldtooth, the director of the Indigenous Environmental Network, Flor de Mayo, one of 13 Indigenous grandmothers, and many more. So tonight and tomorrow, all kinds of things are going on. It's all at the Institute of American Indian Arts. And for more information, you go to iaia.edu, and there's a link to the page right there.
Neato.
Indeed.
My gosh, we're almost out of time here.
I know. How did that happen? Okay,
I don't know.
Concordia, I won't read that because you already read it.
It's going to be a beautiful weekend.
How about salsa at the lodge tonight?
Oh, there you go.
That's always
That's a good
important.
Way to ring in the weekend.
Indeed.
Yeah. Gosh, I have to say happy 40th birthday to my partner of 20 years, Jason Hopper.
Oh.
We're celebrating his birthday today. Well, his birthday was
happy
2 days
birthday
ago.
Happy birthday 2 days ago.
Yeah. But, well, I'm going to come back real soon and do this. I don't know about next week, but.
Well, you are welcome anytime. It's always wonderful to have you. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us many Fridays, although not all, speaking of the arts. And thank you so much for being here.
Gracias.
Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafemc. That's a new Facebook because the old one got filled up.
Facebook, too many friends?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, people who listen, I guess, but which is wonderful. But facebook.com/radiocafemc. And I also am kind of semi-doing Twitter at radiocafemc. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. After that, jazz. Have a wonderful and happy weekend. Hey, don't forget Geist Cabaret at Pronzo, which is just about every weekend, tonight, tomorrow. And have a wonderful day, wonderful weekend, wonderful Earth Day.
Yeah.
Hasta la vista.
Go play outside.
Go play outside.